Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 458. This is the Limits Edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have recently found our limit when it comes to actually how much sleep we can and can't take care of. So we're doing our best to try and manage the sleep as it is and make sure everything else works out. We're having a couple little issues with the Ustream broadcast. We are actually live over at live.caffeination.com. We do have a chat room running, so there might be some commentary that appears on the show. Unfortunately, unlike most times when we do the live version of the Caffeination podcast, you will not be able to go over and actually show or watch the live broadcast after the fact. Because it's for some reason Ustream just isn't recording tonight. So all of that being said, and all the fun little niggles that happen anytime you you do computer work or you play around with this kind of stuff, you know, hey, it's all good in the hood, so to speak. So we're just gonna see what we can do around here. All right. We have a great show lined up for you today here. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're calling this The Limits because this past couple weeks I've just hit a wall when it comes to my productivity during the day, how easy it is for me to get up at night and work with the baby and all that other stuff. I am actually on the call, so you might hear the baby kind of making noises and grunting throughout the broadcast. I might actually end up putting the baby monitor behind me. We have a lot of really cool stuff that we're actually going to be talking about. I did a review of a video game, actually NBA 2K11, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. There's a Michael Jordan cover on that one, so you can kind of see where that one might end up going. There's a couple other things that we did. It's just been a really busy week, both in work, out of work, everywhere that I turn, so it's been kind of fun. So hopefully you're going to be able to join us as we wander throughout this show. In case you are wondering, this is the Caffeination Podcast. We do the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. That is all the things that are geeky, all the things that are fit to geek, and they are all over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com being the name of the show. We thought it was a good place to stick all of our stuff. And you gotta have a place for your stuff, as the great George Carlin would say. Alright, if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else that you'd like to send that doesn't, you know, tick through the mail, whatever else, please feel free to do so over at caffeination@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook fan page over at www.facebook.com/thecaffeination. Some other guy somewhere actually got Caffeination as his username, so when we go to actually add the Caffeination podcast as a name, it just wasn't there. So The Caffeination, which is also the same as our Skype username. If you have anything you'd like to drop on our listener line, you can do so over 215-240-1319. We have a lot of fun content, so we are just going to dive right on in. In case you would like to actually support the Caffeination podcast, you can click on any one of the number of links that are over there, any of the other affiliate links, the Amazon, anything like that. Or you could actually, if you're so inclined, buy something from the store. We actually have a store available that has all kinds of different manner of posters and other things. So, I've done a lot of different stuff with PodCamp Philly and other things, and it's been really kind of cool to showcase some of the different design pieces that I've actually worked on. And it's kind of neat because sometimes people say, hey, you know, I'd really like to have a poster of that. I'd really like to do other things. So now we're actually offering for them for sale. So pretty soon you're going to be able to just head on over to store.caffeination.com, but I haven't set that up yet. It's probably going to be set up by the time the show goes live. So if you're looking for it, it's store.caffeination.com. All else, you can just search for my username PZULBOX over at deviantart.com. So, but we're gonna simplify it for you. You don't even have to worry. All right, so that leads the sponsorship and all that other stuff out the window. I don't know what we're gonna do to keep the old ship afloat here. We might end up going the Zay Frank route, as somebody suggested, and selling duckies. Maybe instead of duckies, it'll be jitters or coffee beans or something like that. Buy me a bean. Or fun stuff like that. Who knows? We'll find something out. All right. Scratching and clawing my way throughout the weekend, throughout this episode, we're going to dive right on into the content here, because that's really what you came for. All right, up first in the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, we are going to be reviewing NBA 2K11. Now, a couple people have actually asked me, you know, what's your gamer tag? And my gamer tag is actually P-Z-U-L. It's a nickname from high school. It's I pronounce it Puzzle. Everybody else calls it Pazool. I didn't really know it at the time. It's stuck with me since then. And yes, if you type my name Paul, the Z and the A are right next to each other, actually, you know, right on top of each other. So if you really think that that's why it is, it's not entirely the case. A nickname from before that was Puzzle. It got shortened down for internet handling, and that just ended up being a nice short little gamer tag. So if you're looking for a fun little game, you can play me on NBA 2K11 or anything else. I'm horrible at the game so far, but hey, just full disclosure on that one. All right, moving right along to the actual review here. This is a fantastic game. Now, I'm not usually somebody who sits there and talks all about sports games. I like playing sports games, but if you really want to be honest, most sports games don't go beyond a certain yearly iteration. It's like, okay, you know, this year we're doing this year we're doing that, and they'll either feature another star, they talk about who won last year, there's a whole bunch of other different things like that, but there's not really a whole lot of change in the actual genre. If you're playing a basketball game, you know what you're going to get. If you're playing a football game, you know what you're going to get. And as soon as things kind of put the screws down on different organizations, put the screws down on competing game manufacturers. You know, you don't have two people making NFL games anymore. Only one company can make NFL, and that's the company that makes Madden. So it really kind of limited things. So it's really nice and interesting to see a company like 2K Sports actually go with something that's really off the wall. The cover art for the new game for 2K11 is Michael Jordan. There is no bigger person in the history of basketball. So it's kind of interesting to see a game who's coming out now in 2010. The last time the man played was actually April 16th, 2003, in Philadelphia as a member of the Washington Wizards, unfortunately. So the last time he played was over 7 years ago, and now he's on the cover of another video game. You can actually go throughout the video game, competing in 10 different Jordan challenges. There's a lot of really cool and interesting gameplay that was put into this. It's a beautiful game, as you would expect from any sports game coming out in 2010. It's a beautiful game. It has all the tiny different little things that make a good sports game, and it's also one of the most complex and interesting titles that I've played to date, because in certain modes, like, you know, beyond, after you get beyond the Jordan stuff, and after you get beyond, you know, franchising and things like that, if you're going to go out and actually try and create your own player, if your player does things that a point guard usually wouldn't do, guess what? You're a bad teammate. Nobody throws you the ball. If your player does things that a shooting guard wouldn't do, or a power forward wouldn't do, or all the other different little positions that are in basketball itself, not only do you not get the ball, but you don't get drafted by an NBA team. You know, like, there's these things that happen, and you end up being a really bad basketball player, which is where I kind of ended up. And I actually had to go, and it's like, okay, what am I doing wrong? I'm a point guard. Why am I doing wrong? Well, I actually created the character of my own height, which is 6'2", but apparently in basketball, 6'2" is not tall at all. I'm kind of a midget in the realm of basketball, so that didn't work. So there's so much depth and so much interesting stuff that actually goes into the game itself that it goes beyond, you know, the yearly playability, where it's like, okay, you know, like, I'm a fan of this team and they're really good this year. I unfortunately am a fan of the 76ers from Philadelphia, so they're not good this year, and they are not good in the actual game, which is kind of interesting. But the AI that's actually in the game, usually, you know, if you're on a team like this, all you have to do to really kind of switch things up is offer one scrub and a good draft pick to somebody, and you can get, like, one of the best stars in the game. The AI in this game will not trade you something like that in a fantasy what's it actually called? They'll not trade you something like that when you're actually doing a franchise, not fantasy. So it's really interesting. There's a lot of replay value, especially because of all the different Jordan stuff that actually is in there and the different things that you can see. I mean, the most jaw-dropping moment of the game is as soon as you put the disc in your drive, it goes through and it gives you different vignettes talking about Jordan's career, and then you hear the announcers overhead, and all of a sudden, you know, you're flashing down and you see five guys standing in the hallway, all the way down to one guy, which is Mike, and he's standing in the hallway right before the big, you know, Mike versus Magic game in 1991. So it's Los Angeles Lakers versus the Chicago Bulls in I think it's game one of the finals in 1991. It is an unbelievable start to the game. I've never played another single sports game that ever started you off doing exactly what you wanted to do. Michael Jordan's not just like some unlockable character in this. He's not somebody, you know, held so aloof that you can't play with him. There's not that fun. It's kind of like some of these games make it so hard that when you're playing things like, you know, you're playing like a Star Wars game, you don't get a lightsaber for, you know, 20 hours into the game. The first thing anybody wants to do when they play in a Star Wars game is play with the lightsaber. The first thing anybody would want to do with a game that has Jordan on the cover is play with him. And the first thing you do before you even see a menu is you play with Jordan. So it is a fantastic game, and I highly suggest you pick it up. We have links to the different places you can get it over there, and you can read the full review without my rambling in between over at caffeination.com. Moving right along to the next thing that we wanted to talk to you about, they from over at Agent M Loves Tacos.com. If you're unaware, Agent M is actually one of the community bloggers for Marvel. He has a fantastic job. He basically gets to pal around with all other kinds of manner of geekery, and he reports about it online. Well, when he was at Comic-Con, Comic-Con New York, they have a cosplay contest, and the person who won it was Steampunk Iron Man's. And this is just beautiful. This is a costume like you would not expect somebody to have actually created. This is like down to different little tiny little things, like the fact that, you know, a steampunk creation of an Iron Man suit would probably have had very visible rivets for certain things. There's going to be areas where the armor is exposed, and you're looking at it, you're like, man, this is fantastic. And you know, for actually being able to fly, they actually have all kinds of manner of contraptions and clock wheels on it and everything. It's a really, really incredibly well done system, and they actually have tiny little smokestacks sticking out the back. The fun thing is, if you're actually going to really kind of go into the history behind what a steampunk version of Iron Man is, there's actually a folk hero from Australia who actually donned like a whole bunch of metal armor, and he and his band of cutthroat gentlemen proceeded to attack trains and things like that. So it's not entirely to that level, but this is pretty awesome to boot. So you can head on over there and check that out. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is actually kind of an interesting topic from over at lifehacker.com. It says, you know, you too can get better pictures and take better photos by using an 18% gray card for better color, for skin balance, and a whole bunch of other different things. So to simplify everything, the long and the short of it, there's a white balance feature on most good cameras out there. So you can click the white balance feature, and then all of a sudden it kind of evens out the tones in whatever it is that you're taking pictures of. Most people do not realize that if you're actually going to be setting the white balance, even if you're doing it in Photoshop or whatever else like this, you can actually change what it thinks the neutral color is. When it says white balance, it's not trying to find what white is. It's trying to find the neutral tone in the middle of it. So if you take a picture and you use an 18% gray card, and they actually show you how you can actually create one, then it's an easy kind of fix for everything, because it's something that's really simple to do. It's, you know, they say basically take Photoshop, open it up, put solid black on there, and then drop it down to 50% opacity and print it out. So, you know, with a white background. I'm not entirely sure how, if you take black and you overlay it on white and then you drop it down to 50% opacity, that makes 18% gray, because somewhere in there the math just seems a little bit hokey. But if that's what they're saying, then that's what they're saying, and that just seems to be kind of an interesting idea there. So who knows if that actually works. But I've used different white balancing cards when I'm actually doing video and different stuff like that. I actually did create my own set. I had ones to make things warmer, ones to make things cooler, and it's not like you have it in every single picture, but if you're going to take a lot of pictures in a certain area, it does kind of help to have that one photo in the set that we're you took a picture of the card or somebody holding the card a little bit further back. And then when you're in Photoshop to actually mess around with it, you can kind of use it to to set the medium or mid-range tones throughout everything that you're doing. So that kind of tips over at lifehacker.com. So in case you want to check that out, you can do so. All right, next little fun thing that we have for you here is kind of an interesting start. It's caught spying on a student. The FBI demands its GPS tracker back. Over at wired.com, they have an interesting article about a California student who got a visit from the FBI after he took his car into the shop. Now, the gentleman has certain ties to the Middle East, and through no fault of his own, the FBI decided they were going to track him. And as most government agencies do, whenever you have absolute power, sometimes you can act like a bit of a jerk. So they basically said, you know, we know where you've been, we know that you got fired from this job, that you got another job here, and they were really kind of rough and tumble with the gentleman. And it all turned out that he didn't have anything to do with anybody, so they kind of let him go, which was a good thing. But he had this device that was actually sitting on his car, tracking his whereabouts. Now, this all came about because there was a recent legislation passed that said that if your car is not in the garage, that basically they can add tracking devices, government agencies can add tracking devices to your car without, I think it's without a warrant, but I could be wrong on that one. There's a lot of really kind of nastiness that goes on with some of these things, and there's another story a little bit further on that kind of showcases some of the different government issues that are currently in the news that you actually really kind of need to be aware of. So not entirely sure if everybody's watching out there. So we really kind of want to hope that people pay attention to these kind of things. But the fun thing is he had this device, was unsure what it was, so he actually posted a picture of it, then sold it on Craigslist, basically gave it away. So when the FBI showed up, he actually had to turn it over. So it was kind of funny. They did actually kind of clarify that, yes, that he was being tracked, and then they kind of proceeded to act like jerks. But you want to head on over there, and I'm always interested to see what people think of this. Do you think that the government agencies should just be able to track whoever they really feel like? Because I'm personally more along the side of a little bit less power is probably good for everybody. You know, the entire idea of, you know, citizens tattling on each other to make sure that, you know, everybody's safe is good in theory but bad in practice, because you end up getting a lot of false leads and a lot of other bad things can happen. So I don't know. I just, there's some part of me that really thinks that our freedoms are kind of being chipped away overall, and it's just not good stuff. So, all right, next little fun thing that we have to kind of get off that for a little bit is actually an interesting little graphic from over at laughingsquid.com. It's called A Geological Time Spiral That Shows How Life Evolved on Earth. I just thought this was fantastic, and there's a link to a much larger version, so if you're actually into this kind of stuff, then you can actually check it out. The funny thing is, if you consider the history of the Earth, you know, some 4+ billion years, and you want to actually kind of pinpoint when man was actually put on the planet, if you took it as a year, you know, just from January 1 and you kind of extrapolated it out from January 1 to December 31st, humans have only been around for something like the last second or last couple seconds of the entire year. So there's a whole bunch of other history that goes on. And once things really kind of got started, it's kind of interesting to see how quickly the spiral blossomed into the wonder that is all life out there. So if you have an archaeological bug like I do, or something else, then you're just kind of interested in this stuff, there is a gorgeous picture that they actually have linked up over there, and I might have to actually print this out for my office just because I think it's that really cool. But yeah, there's not a lot of information on it up to about 2 billion years ago, and then 1 billion year ago things really got started, and then we had all other kinds of crazy periods, and the diversity of life just showed up. So I thought it was pretty cool. All right, yeah, you know what? I should actually have shown that to people, but yeah, nobody's there, so that's all right. All right, for some reason, Ustream's dropping in and out rather frequently tonight, so I apologize to anybody who tried to watch the stream and it didn't kind of work out. Next little thing that we got up for you here, another Moleskine hack. I got to tell you, I love Moleskine stuff. They have a lot of really cool different things that are happening right now, and this is not an official one. This is actually kind of a different hack, but the idea behind it is that it's a watch diary that actually incorporates a regular analog clock in the middle of the actual book into the design of the actual paper that goes around it. So you have notes on the top, notes on the bottom, and then if you actually want to notate things for different things for like a planner, rather than having a straight vertical calendar on in your diary, you actually have a clock in there, and there's, you know, the numbers 12 through 1 all the way around standard analog clock face, and you can actually write your different appointments as they would appear. And the cool thing about it is the hour hand is bright red, so you can see as it points to whatever it is that you're going to be doing. So if you're it took me a whole long time to try and convert most of my scheduling and calendars over to actually being able to use my phone to be reminded for something like this. I would definitely still be in the paper category if I had had this. But it's available for in orange, ivory, white, or black for $17.99. So I just thought it was pretty cool and wanted to pass it along to the group. Next little thing that we have for you here is yet another fun story about your government freedoms being taken away. It's called wiretapping the internet. Now, this has come up a couple different times in a couple different administrations, and I make no political comments one way or another, except for the fact that I like my stuff to remain secure and I like things to remain free. Well, here's the problem. People are convinced that technology breeds bad things, and there was legislation introduced that basically said that any communication method from point A to point B on the internet had to include a loophole for the availability of wiretapping for government officials. Here is the problem when you actually consider what they're asking. Right now, if you want to wiretap a Skype call, there is no way to do that. Skype's network is decentralized. It is encrypted from point A to point B, so if I am talking to somebody on Skype, I know that my call is not only secure just because of all of the technology that went into it, but because there's really no centralized location that somebody could set something up. So in order for this to actually work for Skype, let's just say, they would have to rewire the entire network. There would be a lot more outages. The entire reason Skype is as robust as it is because there is no backdoor, there is no centralized location where everything can go in. It is bad practice in not only in part but in whole to code back doors into anything. Security through obscurity, I've said it before and I say it again, is no security at all. It's my favorite, it's the phrase that my friend Dan used to utter time and time again. I'm not even sure where he got it, and I should probably look that up, but there is no way that you will ever convince me that if you build a backdoor into every piece of software that's out there, from Outlook to Twitter to Facebook to everything else, you know, first of all, any digital communication, you should assume that it's not necessarily secure. But if this actually goes through, if this provision actually goes through, not only are things not secure, but they are guaranteed not to be secure. So you are basically destroying any credibility and any kind of continuity. You're going to put and punch huge loopholes into the ability for private conversations to remain private. I'm not even talking about, you know, this is secure, so, you know, I can talk to my lawyer and realize that this is going to be okay, except if a government agent comes in. Because even in that instance, you know, I should be able to talk to my lawyer without somebody snooping in on me. It's not that I have anything to hide. It's the idea that a government should not be able to spy on you for absolutely everything you do. And as soon as you put that loophole in there, not only is there no guarantee that somebody's not just going to watch on a lark, for instance, the same thing that they did with that laptop case that was in Pennsylvania recently that was actually settled out of court for $600,000, because basically the school district paid the parents because, yes, they were actually spying on it. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff you're going to let yourself in on. You know, if somebody has the ability, who's to say they're not bored at work one day and they just start listening to Skype calls? Who's to say somebody else doesn't find a way to use that government backdoor and all of a sudden everything is broadcast out there? It's just not good practice, and I really hope that the wiser minds prevail and this does not happen. For a better, that article that I actually linked up is actually from prospect.org, the American Prospect, and then there's another one, my favorite security expert Bruce Schneier, so I'm putting his take up on there, and it's just it's ridiculous. Every president for the past at least two or three has made provisions to the Patriot Act to really kind of drill down into your privacy online and really make the fear-mongering stick when it's like, you know, well, we're doing it for the children, or we're doing it to prevent terrorism. It's like, you know what, you're going to destabilize the entire communication structure that exists out there just because you think you might be able to catch one grain of sand in the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of tiny little bits of information that are going to be flying everywhere. It's a ridiculous concept. So, all right, stepping off my box now, but moving right along, the next little thing that we'd like to talk to you about is something incredibly funny and completely non-political. My wife hates that I take my camera to the zoo every time. She says the animals are always going to be there. You will see them all the time. I mean, if you're not taking pictures of the family, why are you taking pictures of the animals that are in the cage? And she's not a camera person. I am. She likes the fact that I do document everything, but I can understand how it gets annoying sometimes, and it's kind of funny. So it's also funny that over at theoatmeal.com, they actually have a list of the 7 things you really don't need to take photos of. My wife would add the zoo into this, but they have a list of bar photos, food, scenery, concerts, kissing couples, your car, bathroom mirror pics. So I have never done a bathroom mirror pic. I've taken a couple pictures of my car, but only because it's like, hey, this is what I was driving this year. Whenever I get a new car, I take a picture of it so I can see it at another time in case I get rid of it. I don't continually take those pictures. I've never taken a picture at a concert. But I am very guilty of taking pictures of food just to share them because, hey, this is the caffeination. Hey, if I make a really fun-looking cup of coffee, I'm going to be sharing it with people. And the other one's scenery just because I like doing that kind of stuff. I take pictures to take pictures. Never since you don't need to develop anything anymore. It's just that much more awesome to do it. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is Sesame Street Smell Like a Monster. This is beautiful. I have had this sent in by so many different people. I saw it when it first came out. I cannot even begin to tell you how awesome this video is. So I'm just going to share you the link and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy the awesomeness for yourself. The idea here is that they actually did a takeoff on the Old Spice Smell Like a Man. And I myself have done my own Smell Like a Man take for the Norbert Davis's Totally Cool Tech podcast. So if you head on over to his over at totallycooltech.com, you can hear that one. But the Sesame Street Smell Like a Monster, it hits all the right notes. Even the jingle at the end, rather than the Old Spice whistling, is the Sesame Street being whistled in a very similar tune. It's just perfect. And the fact that they're giving Grover more screen time makes me happy because I dislike Elmo intensely, but I'm a big Grover fan. So, all right, and the last little thing that we got for you here in the Geek Cruft section before we move along into the food and caffeinated bits is Eric Stoltz was original Marty McFly in Back to the Future. Now, I was really stunned at this. This is from a link over at laughingsquid.com again. This is crazy. I didn't even know about this. So if you want to head on over there, you can actually see some of the different footage. And apparently in the 25th anniversary trilogy DVD collection, you're going to get to see some of the original filming that took place with Eric Stoltz in there. But they said he wasn't funny enough. There was just missing something. Apparently they did 5 weeks of filming with Eric in there. And then Robert Zemeckis went to the studio and said, you know what? It's just not working. The man is incredibly professional. He's great in every way. There's just something missing. And as soon as they cast Michael J. Fox, you know, Marty, it just worked. So I my hat's off to Robert for actually taking that crazy step of actually saying, you know what, let's throw all of the film out. Let's throw all the different things that we've done out so far and insert a completely new lead actor. Now they would probably just try and do it digitally, but it's kind of crazy to see some footage. You know the scenes. If you've seen the movies, you know the scenes. It's just completely and utterly different than what you think. All right, moving right along. October is Fair Trade Coffee Month. I did want to remind you, just in case you missed out on that, so you can head on over to dailyshotofcoffee.com to check that one out. Fantastic stuff over there. But the reason I'm telling you about that is because not tomorrow, because today's the 13th. Tomorrow is going to be the 14th, and then Friday is the 15th. So on the 15th of October, the good people over at GourmetGiftBasketGifts.com are attempting to go to and create a Guinness record for the largest cup of coffee. Now, what they are doing, and you can actually see the actual picture on the my website, so if you go over to caffeination.com, you can see a picture of the mug itself. They are going to be filling an 8x8 storage container that has been shaped into a giant mug with coffee. with 2,010 gallons. The previous record was 911 gallons, and there's a couple little things that we actually have for you here. Now, the only thing that I was the original reason that I put the fact that October's Fair Trade Coffee Month is, unfortunately, they don't appear to be using fair trade coffee. They do appear to actually be using 100% Colombian Arabica blend from Colombia, obviously, but there's no other information on the source of the beans. There's a lot of other stuff, and it's happening at Blog World Expo, so if you know anybody who's going, please have them take pictures. I know I'm going to get some information from the people over there, but it'd just be kind of cool to see that. They are donating all of the proceeds to the Susan G. Komen Fund for breast cancer awareness, which is great, and don't get me wrong, I think that's fantastic, but I really think if they had actually done a little bit more of a tie-in with the actual coffee segment of it, they really could have brought awareness to a couple other different things that are out there. I mean, there's so many other different things that the fair trade coffee could have kind of worked into and really kind of blossomed from that. They could, especially the fine folks over at gourmetgiftbaskets.com, they could have like sold gift baskets of fair trade coffee to commemorate the event and had like pieces of the mug or something crazy in there like that. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you really could have done to tie that in. So here's what's actually going to be happening. On Friday, October 15th at 4 a.m., they're going to begin brewing. It's going to take roughly 4 to 5 hours, brewing roughly 250 gallons per hour. The way they are doing is they're taking 2 60-amp, 208-volt, three-phase power supplies and 2 directly plumbed water lines to provide 3 gallons of heated liquid per minute. They're going to make the brewing process. It's going to take roughly 89,305 times the amount of coffee needed to brew a standard 8-ounce cup of coffee. They're going to be attempting to brew the 2,010 gallons. The coffee, like I said, is already going to be the Arabica. They're going to have 3 different dispensers somehow worked into this. It's going to be dark, light, and sweetened. I think that's really cool that they already have built into the system a way to, serve the coffee in different ways. They're going to be giving out 2-ounce samples and asking for donations for the Susan G. Komen Fund. That's really kind of cool, and Ryan Abood, the CEO over there, has this record-breaking bug. If you're unaware, last year he actually did the world's largest cupcake, and cupcakes are fantastic. So I'm thinking he actually needs a cookie to dunk into the coffee. I'm a big dunker. I like dunking things. You know, I'm not really a fan of dunking donuts. I would rather dunk a bagel, personally. But if you're going to dunk anything into coffee, it should be a cookie, preferably a homemade chocolate chip cookie. So if you have an 8x8, an 8-foot across coffee mug, how big does the chocolate chip cookie have to be? I'm saying roughly 6 feet. Because if you're really looking at the situation that you got, you take your standard coffee mug and you say, okay, well, if I'm going to dunk a cookie in there, it goes roughly, a little bit more than halfway across, probably a little bit, close to 3/4. So roughly a 6-foot cookie would fit really kind of nicely in there. But, that's just me. So a 6-foot cookie, and I think they'd be all good. And then they could sell pieces of the cookie too. That'd be fun. All right, moving right along to the next little thing that we got for you here. We were actually lucky enough to review Wings of Nature Almond Raisin Bar. This is really cool. Now, there's a couple of different things about it. First off, it's a tiny little snack bar. It's similar to granola, but not entirely that way. It is has no trans fat in it. It's completely gluten-free, and it has no refined sugar. Everything's done with agave syrups and syrup made from brown rice, so I was a little bit hesitant to try these things because, they came, they looked good. I like a good granola bar every once in a while. But I'm looking at them going, I wonder how they're going to taste because I don't really like sweet things. Now, if you've ever had any kind of Arabic confections or like baklava or something like that, something that uses kind of like a nutty sweetener to it, then you would immediately know what these kind of things taste like, because all the stuff that goes in there is really, really good. I kind of hope that they have smaller areas where you can buy them. Right now, they sell cases of 24, and it's $31.99. I really, really, really liked the Almond Raisin Bar. It was fantastic. I also reviewed the Espresso Coffee Bar. Now, I had a small little niggle about the actual name Espresso Coffee. It seemed to me that they were actually trying to use, and they used espresso flavor in there, and I'm not entirely sure what that means. There's no caffeine in the espresso flavor bar, but it had a very rich kind of cocoa and coffee taste to it without being on one side or another. Both were incredibly good. I actually had one of my good friend Dave try the espresso coffee bar as well, and he really liked it. Was kind of surprised that there was no caffeine in it, but you know what? It was really kind of cool and interesting, but highly suggest you head on over there and check those out. They're both fantastic little ways to kind of put a little pep in your step as you're heading out. Now, this isn't the caffeinated pep. This is kind of, you know, a good little food treat to throw in a backpack or something like that, especially because they're gluten-free, so the, you know, there's a whole variety of people who enjoy them over the standard traditional granola bars, because I'm pretty sure they're not gluten-free. All right, next little thing from my good friend Chris. There's a cake made of pies, and the best part is I found out that it's in Philadelphia. It's called the Pumple Cake. The Pumple Cake, which has a fun name to it, actually is a selection of pies which appear to be both apple and pumpkin pie baked into a pie, or baked into a larger cake with buttercream icing and layers of chocolate and vanilla cake thrown in there. I'm not entirely sure how this works. There are a lot of different things that I've actually seen have called this the turducken of cakes. Now, if you're unaware of what a turducken is, John Madden's famous for talking about it. It's basically a one bird stuffed inside another. I think it's actually a duck stuffed inside a chicken, stuffed inside a turkey. For the traditional turducken, it has six legs, it looks like some kind of mutant beast, and then they kind of roast the whole thing all together. So this is the mutant beast of cakes, and it's, you know, you've heard that the cake is a lie, well, this is the cake is a pie. So that about wraps that up. And then the last little thing is from over at randomgoodstuff.com. It's the Tank Up coffee mug. I love this. I want this as a widget for my site. This is fantastic in a way you couldn't even imagine. I might even lift my moratorium on new mugs here in the Caffeination Lair just to buy it. But it's a mug that looks like a fuel gauge, and the best part is the actual fuel gauge, and depending on how high up the heated liquid is, that's where the marker actually comes up. So fantastic idea. It doesn't even seem to be too expensive, so I just wanted to head you on over there so you could check that out. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination episode number 458. Hopefully the video issues will fix by the time we do the next show. Not entirely sure if it will or won't, but you know what? Hey, roughly 11 o'clock every Wednesday evening, we do the Caffeination live show over at live.caffeination.com, so tell your friends. Come on over, join in on the chat. It's always pretty fun to check out and see what we got going on. I think Ustream's having a little bit of problems tonight, so we're going to let it throw its fit, and then we're going to move along on our way. All right, thank you ever so much for listening. Just a reminder, in case you are looking for this episode or any of its other episodic friends, you can do so by heading on over to caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And you can also email us comments, feedback, suggestions, whatever else your little heart desires, over to caffeination@gmail.com. We are twitter.com/caffeination, facebook.com/thecaffeination, and the listener voicemail line is 215-240-1319. Thank you ever so much for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.